My guest at this time is Kristen Wagner, senior counsel at the Alliance Defending Freedom. She joins me now to discuss the Washington State Supreme Court unanimously rejecting the appeal of Christian florist Baronelle Stutzman. Stutzman, you may remember, was sued by a same-sex couple after she refused to provide floral arrangements for their wedding because doing so would violate her closely held religious beliefs. The two men sued Stutzman. The Washington State Attorney General aggressively prosecuted the case, and a lower court not only ruled against Stutzman, but imposed a major financial penalty that Stutzman supporters say could wipe out her home and life savings. Ms. Wagner argued on behalf of Stutzman before the Washington State Supreme Court. And Kristen, thanks very much for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
A unanimous decision here, and essentially the court saying that the discrimination here was based on same-sex marriage, so that's discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, and that Ms. Stutzman's free exercise of religion was not infringed. What's your reaction to that?
They're wrong. We're deeply disappointed with today's court's decision. The First Amendment protects Baronelle's rights as a small business owner and a creative professional. She has loved and respected everyone who's walked into her store. She served this gentleman for nearly 10 years and simply declined an event, one ceremony that was a religious ceremony, because of her religious convictions. And the First Amendment, our rights, our protections for free speech and free exercise of religion, protect her right to do that. Nor did she violate the statute. She didn't discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation. As I said, she'd served him for 10 years. This was about her religious convictions and a sacred religious ceremony. So we will be appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Take us inside the oral arguments a little bit. Given the makeup of the court, did this verdict surprise you? What was the oral argument like for you?
No, it didn't surprise us. It's disheartening. You always hope that the court will surprise you and do the right thing and follow the Constitution rather than a political agenda. And that very much was how I think this opinion was written. There was an end reach, and the arguments that we made, the factual pieces of the case that were on our side, were not presented in the decision. It didn't grapple with the arguments. And it's noteworthy, even in oral argument, the Attorney General of the state of Washington conceded that Baronelle's design of custom arrangements was expression. And the court's opinion says that it was she intended to convey a message. So the First Amendment clearly protects this activity and these designs as pure speech. So it's disheartening. But like I said, we will be appealing it to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Talk a little bit more about your argument. Obviously, the same-sex marriage issue is fairly recent, so adding that to the discrimination during a wedding ceremony is something relatively recent. What case precedent do you look at, or is it simply just a matter of the First Amendment saying free exercise of religion should be the end of the story here?
Well, there's a robust body of law, many cases of the U.S. Supreme Court law that tell us that broad free speech principles apply. We've called the First Amendment the majestic guarantee. It's a fixed star in our constitutional constellation. It gives us the right to have freedom of our mind and our spirit, and that's all in our case law. We protect all kinds of artistic expression, and those cases have been well settled, including visual art and other mediums of expression. So the law in this area is clear, and the court misrepresents that law in its decision. I mean, there are many Supreme Court cases where the U.S. Supreme Court and other courts have said these types of discrimination laws can't be used to trump First Amendment rights. The government cannot use its power to force someone to promote a message or celebrate a ceremony in violation of their conscience.
Let me ask you a couple of questions about appealing this to the U.S. Supreme Court. First of all, on the timing of it, do you plan to wait till there's a full 9-member court, or will you be doing it immediately?
Well, the rules say that you have 90 days to file the petition for cert and ask the court to grant the cert request. And we hope that the court will grant that cert request and that there will be 9 justices sitting on the court when it hears the case.
Now, the Supreme Court did, not too long ago, agree with business owners in the Hobby Lobby case, where they basically sided in favor of employers who believed that they did not need to pay in their insurance plans for their employees for abortion-inducing drugs because that violated their religious beliefs. How closely are you going to be focusing on that case as you head to the U.S. Supreme Court?
Well, I think that case shows where the court should head, and with Justice Scalia, where it did head. Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Woods was a case that we litigated, but that was under a federal statute, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. That federal statute isn't at issue here because this is a state government that's trying to ruin Baronel personally and professionally. But she does have the benefit of the First Amendment jurisprudence and her rights under the federal constitution. So that's what the case will focus on. But certainly there are principles in the Hobby Lobby Conestoga decision that will apply to her case.
From what you just said there about the way the state prosecuted this case, is that it seemed very personal to them. Explain how this whole case unfolded and with the Attorney General being so involved in this case.
It certainly was what seemed like a political agenda, and the governor, the Attorney General did announce that he's running for governor, and one wonders why it was so personal and vindictive. If it was about the principle of law, the Attorney General could have just sued Baronel's business, but instead he intentionally chose to pursue her in her personal capacity, and the ACLU has also been behind this. They also sued on behalf of clients in this case, and they also are suing her personally. So everything she owns is potentially at risk, and that's unnecessary, and it's vindictive.
What is the financial punishment in this case so far?
The civil fines are relatively low. The court hasn't decided in terms of what she must pay the couple that's represented by the ACLU. But where the stick is and the real threat to business owners and creative professionals is in the attorney's fees. She's required to pay attorney's fees, which could exceed seven figures.
As you head to the Supreme Court with this case, regardless of how the court rules here, and let's look at one way and the other, what message does it send if the Supreme Court agrees with the state Supreme Court? And on the converse, what is the impact if the Supreme Court sides with Baronel Stutzman?
Well, I think if the Supreme Court decides with Baronel Stutzman, it reaffirms that tolerance is a two-way street and that the government cannot use its power to crush people and crush dissent, crush those that don't agree with the government's ideology at that point. I mean, all civilizations have had the freedom to believe whatever they want, but what's at stake and has made America unique is the freedom to live out those beliefs in the marketplace in a peaceful way. And that's what's at stake in this case, and that's why we hope the U.S. Supreme Court will hear the case and set the state Supreme Court on the right path again, a path that would include be inclusive and truly just.
Finally, Kristen, I know that given the amount of money potentially involved here, ADF does have an effort underway to help raise some money for Baronel. How can folks get involved with that if they want to?
Well, I would highlight, the ACLU a few weekends ago raised $24 million in one weekend, and we have a host of cases, including Baronel, where people need help. They're faced with the choice of their livelihood, their vocational licenses, and their faith, and Baronel certainly needs help, too. We have a website set up, letfreedombloom.com. That's letfreedombloom.com for people to get more information on how to help.
Kristen, we'll call time there. We'll certainly be following as you do appeal this case. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Kristen Wagner is a senior counsel at the Alliance Defending Freedom. She argued before the Washington State Supreme Court on behalf of Baronel Stutzman. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.